Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you. Providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, your senior care consultant. I really appreciate you tuning into the program. And today we have an excellent program on tap for you. I'd like to welcome Mr. David Wiley, President and CEO of Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, and Karen Honholt, Chief Development and Communications Officer, again with Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And David and Karen, welcome to Senior Care Live.
It's good to be here today.
All right. So I tell you what, I'm a little bit fired up today, and I'm really glad that we're going to be breaking this down. So for our listeners, in December, so that's December of 2022, The New Yorker published an article about how, in their words, hospice became, quote, a $22 billion industry plagued by exploitation. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. And I'm so glad that we're going to set the record straight today. So for families who have had a different experience with hospice care, this was very upsetting. And for those in the healthcare field, including nonprofit hospice providers such as Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, the article was contested as just not providing a full picture of the range of hospice providers in the United States. So David, I'd like to start off today by asking you to share with listeners some information about the state of nonprofit hospice care.
Sure, Steve, I'm happy to. You know, the digital version of the article is titled How Hospice Became a For-Profit Hustle. And it focuses on multiple instances of fraud by taking advantage of the Medicare hospice benefit. And it highlights, you know, how patient care can suffer. And so I think it's an important topic. You know, based on 2020 Medicare claims data, there are more than 5,000 Medicare certified hospices nationally. Just 24% of them, or about 1,200 of them, are nonprofit, and the rest are for profit, which that has been increasing dramatically in the most recent years as a result of acquisitions and also an influx of private equity dollars. Within our state, which is Missouri, we have 105 Medicare-certified hospices, and just about 25 of them are nonprofit.
Okay. All right. And so I would just like to share with our listening audience. So we're going to be talking about some specific things with Kansas City Hospice. So obviously here in the Kansas and in the Missouri area, in the KC metro area. So we're going to be talking about this, but just keep in mind for-profit versus not-for-profit hospice providers in your area. And then we're going to break that down a little bit more here in a little bit. But so David, what does being a nonprofit hospice mean as compared to a for-profit hospice provider?
You know, operationally in healthcare in general, or for any industry, being a nonprofit means that Your fiduciary responsibility is to your beneficiaries, your clients, the community, or the people who directly benefit from your services, you know, rather than an owner or a shareholder, as in this case, a for-profit or privatized industry. Private corporations have a legal responsibility to distribute their profit margins among their shareholders or owners. Nonprofits still aim to make an operational profit. You know, it's key that nonprofits are financially stable and sustainable. But the difference is that nonprofits invest those same profits back into their other programs or services to serve clients and the community. You know, the other key difference between a for-profit and a nonprofit hospice or healthcare for that matter is really, you know, a mission focus. Nonprofits are governed in the decision-making by a dedication to mission-based work. For example, our mission at Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care is to bring expert care, peace of mind, comfort, guidance, and hope to people affected by serious illness or by grief.
You know, and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, all businesses have to be operationally stable in the financial side of things.
Absolutely.
But it comes down to then what do you do with the profits?
Right.
Reinvest it back into the nonprofit organization to further the mission or distribute to shareholders. I mean, that's the big dividing point to me, as I can see it.
I think so. And I think our approach in terms of various aspects of how we staff and those kind of things we'll get into, but that's a big factor as well.
Okay. So how does that distinction impact the care that people receive and lead to some of the concerning scenarios described in that article?
You know, again, it's the decision-making for a for-profit hospice and the way in which they deliver programming, you know, is guided by a goal and, you know, a legal obligation to maximize profits for shareholders. You know, typical business tactics to achieving that include, you know, minimizing expenses and selectively serving only patients whom you believe will be profitable. That's typically referred to as cherry picking.
I hate it when I hear about cherry picking, and I hear about it all the time, frankly.
Yeah, it does. It happens. And, you know, we're a legacy hospice. We've been serving patients since 1980. And, you know, our reputation means that we are high quality and we can take care of very sick people. But the impacts of this are, you know, patients without a financial payer like private insurance, Medicare, or finances on their own, they're left without care. Patients with complex needs are denied because it's determined to be too costly, and for-profit hospice providers, they may refuse care due to this complexity of need, whether medical, like comorbidities, or those facing both medical and socioeconomic challenges. And that happens all the time when, you know, social workers call and they explain this to us, or discharge planner, they explain this to us, and they know that we'll say yes no matter what.
Okay. That's excellent.
Services that can improve comfort, quality of life, or enrich a serious ill person's life sometimes are eliminated from programming to ensure that the Medicare hospice per diem reimbursement exceeds the cost to provide care. And then, of course, support to family members, including grief support, are sometimes minimized. And we know that because a lot of hospices refer their folks to us to take care of in that grief situation. Mm. Nonprofit providers driven by a mission ensure care is provided to all who need it, regardless of their ability to pay or complexity of care. And nonprofits like Kansas City Hospice prioritize programming we know to have a positive impact on patients and their families. And these programs might include patient or family support, or even extensive grief programs that go well above and beyond the minimum regulatory requirements.
Okay. So can you tell us more about that? And what are some of the unique things that Kansas City Hospice is able to provide as a nonprofit?
You know, when we focus on our mission, we prioritize patient comfort and quality of life over profits. This means that we provide patient and family services even when the hospice reimbursement doesn't cover the full cost of the services. Generally speaking, this translates into more comprehensive and whole person care for the patient, which better meets their physical, emotional, spiritual, social, and mental health needs. It also includes a more comprehensive support of the patient's family, both during the course of hospice care and in grief support services provided following the loved one's death. We offer a variety of expressive therapies, art and music therapy, which can really help patients express themselves and cope with emotional effects of their diagnosis. Expressive therapy can also help patients and their family members communicate and bond. We also offer pet therapy, which has been shown to offer comfort increased joy and socialization, decreased feelings of loneliness or depression, diminished pain, and release endorphins, which have a calming effect. We're proud to be unique in our metro area as accredited by the National Association of Jewish Hospice and as a We Honor Veterans Level 4 partner. We also offer two inpatient units, which these are hospice centers, which it would be very, very rare that a for-profit would take that endeavor on because of the investment required to make that happen. Enhancing our care for these specific populations further, we place a priority on ongoing staff training and cultural competencies, trauma-informed care, soul injury, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and other topics, ensuring that the best possible care for patients is provided.
That is excellent. So if you have a case manager and the case manager is like, you know, we need to connect this family, this patient to a hospice provider. What we're talking about today is to set the record straight and really correct this frankly damaging article in the New Yorker, and it paints all hospice providers in kind of the same light. And I think as you can see, David reviewed a lot of information that there you cannot compare the two, and you should not compare the two. And David, unfortunately, it only takes a few bad apples to kind of spoil the barrel, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Yep. So, all right. If you'd like to reach out to Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, here's the phone number, 816-363-2600. You can also go online. There's a wealth of information at the website, kchospice.org. Now, let's not forget about the Senior Care Live question of the week. What are the different ways a hospice provider receives reimbursement for the health care they provide? A, private insurance. B, Medicare and Medicaid. C, self-pay out of pocket. D, care provided without payment. Or E, all of the above. What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to SeniorCareLive.com. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. What are the different ways a hospice provider receives reimbursement for the health care they provide? A, private insurance. B, Medicare and Medicaid. C, self-pay out of pocket. D, care provided without payment, or E, all of the above? And the answer is E, all of the above. And while many providers may refuse care to patients who do not have a payor source or personal financial means to afford the care, nonprofit hospice providers typically provide care to those without financial resources and the ability to pay. And I'll tell you what, we're going to talk specifically about how Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care addresses that. You're going to be really impressed with that. But with that, would like to reintroduce David Wiley and Karen Honholt, both with Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And today we are talking about an article in the New Yorker, and it just really kind of shed, a really negative light or a cloud over all of hospice. And I'm really glad that we're breaking this down and then giving you, the listeners, tools to determine which way you want to go on that. And David, before the break, you were sharing some of the ways that Kansas City Hospice, as a nonprofit hospice provider, is able to enhance care for patients and their families. And it really begs the question, does being a nonprofit mean that you are not able to provide the same level or quality of care that a for-profit organization provides?
You know, Steve, it's quite the opposite. You know, we pride ourselves, as many other nonprofits do, on providing the highest quality of care available in the market. In fact, according to the National Partnership for Hospice and Healthcare Innovation, which is a member organization of nonprofits nationally, Nonprofit hospices provide patients with 10% more nursing visits, 35% more social worker visits, and two times as many therapy visits versus for-profit hospices on a per-patient basis.
That is objective, just absolute objective data, and you just can't even argue with that. That just proves the point.
You know, I think it's important. And actually, on February 27th of 2023, the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, they published an article regarding a cross-sectional study of 650,000 surveys. These are hospice surveys from more than 3,100 hospices. And these are surveys of caregivers of patients that were receiving hospice care. And it reported that substantially about worse care experiences in for-profit than in non-for-profit hospices. And those who received care from for-profit chains reported the worst care experiences, according to the researchers.
And so that is a legitimate, the journal, the JAMA, basically, right? That, mm-hmm. I mean, I know that is, so this isn't a fly-by-night article in a fly-by-night journal, and it's, they didn't go out and talk to 10 or 20 people. 650,000 surveys, that is substantial.
It really is. And you know, as a nonprofit, we do this because we prioritize patient care over profit margins. And, you know, I'm not trying to say that every for-profit hospice, you know, provides bad care.
Yeah.
You know, it's just these numbers really speak for what's going on when you're making these prioritizations. And, you know, that's research. I think thinking back to that New Yorker article, one point that was missed is that families absolutely have a choice when it comes to hospice care. And what's unfortunate is that not all providers give an equal standard of care. So it's important to research and compare options.
All right. There's no doubt about that. So what are some of the ways that our listeners can do just that? And what should they be looking for when comparing options?
You know, first of all, Consumer Report advises families to look for the top indicators of a good hospice, nonprofit status, certification by Medicare, and a long record of services. And in December of 2022, the National Association of Home Care and Hospice and the Center for Medicare Advocacy announced a new hospice resource with questions consumers should ask to find a good hospice. And we have a link or a website, medicareadvocacy.org. You know, from my perspective, there's some key questions for which nonprofit providers will stand out among others. I think asking about staffing ratios, how many patients does one nurse take care of? What is your expected response time in a 24/7 situation or in the middle of the night? And also, do you have dedicated after-hours staffing? I think, you know, making sure that your daytime team can focus during the day and having a dedicated team. Those are some things that we do at Kansas City Hospice that really make a difference for us. I think also inquiring if the hospice offers any additional services beyond what's required by Medicare. Does the hospice have a mission statement that they're willing to share? Do they have any particular philosophy about the type of individuals it won't serve? And how does the hospice honor the unique needs of specific populations? For example, LGBTQ, Black Americans, Jewish, Asian, Hispanic, veterans, et cetera. You know, and are the staff available who have education and training in caring for individuals and families of specific populations? So I always encourage families to ask questions, you know, about the provider's values. There should always be informed choice in care, where the care can be received, the types of locations available to provide care. We talked earlier about inpatient units. You know, if things get very difficult and the symptoms are unable to be managed in the home, is there a seamless way to transition to an important place? So, you know, the guide has several specific questions that aim to take care of that.
Okay. Wow. That was a lot. So again, so if you're listening to the program, you might be out in Santa Barbara, California. You may be up in the Washington, D.C. area, down in Florida, Texas, Sheridan, Wyoming, Nebraska, all over the place. Okay. Anywhere in the country. This information is for you. And what I've done is if you want to click on some links and educate yourself and get familiar with some of this information, just go to seniorcarelive.com. You could also go to kchospice.org and find this information as well. But if you go to seniorcarelive.com, just go to partner sponsors and then find KC Hospice right there. And I made these links available for you. So all you got to do is click it and get your information there. And again, if you have a question for David or Karen or anyone with Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, that phone number is 816-363-2600, 816-363-2600, or again online at kchospice.org. And coming up next, I'm going to visit with Karen Honholt, Chief Development and Communications Officer with Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit seniorcarelive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, go to seniorcarelive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so going to welcome, again, Karen Honholt. She's the Chief Development and Communications Officer for Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, to the conversation to discuss more about what sets nonprofit hospice providers apart and how they're able to achieve so much in the care that they provide. And all of this is really addressing an article that was, pretty negative, trying to shed a negative light on all of hospice. So I'm so glad that we are really kind of setting the record straight today. And Karen, is there anything that you'd like to add to what David has already shared about the distinct things a nonprofit like Kansas City Hospice is able to do?
Yeah, thank you for that question. So we, one of the things that I think is important and that most nonprofit hospices are is local. We're right here in Kansas City. Our workers, our board of directors, live right next door to our patients and families that we're serving throughout the community. And I think that's really important because we're committed to caring for, our own community. We're invested in our own community. And one of the other ways that being local adds another layer of distinction to the way in which we're able to provide care is it allows us to respond to the unique changing and emerging needs of this community. So what's happening right here in this community, as other nonprofits in their own communities can respond and quickly respond to things that are happening, in their own community. One of the other things is we're able to use our own patient outcome and family satisfaction data to identify opportunities for improvement and put some action behind it. So some of those who are maybe for-profit across the country, they're not looking at necessarily their data in quite the same way we are. We're looking at what's happening right here with our own patients. Also, being led, locally led, operated by a leadership team and a volunteer board of directors who live right here in Kansas City, that allows us to achieve some significant progress over the years. Our family and caregiver experience surveys show Kansas City Hospice meeting or exceeding the national average in the majority of major points, 6 out of 8, with 88% willing to recommend this hospice, which is a higher percentage than the national and Missouri average. For Medicare patient care measures, Kansas City Hospice rated higher than national average on all 3 quality measure points. And we've also seen a reduction in staff turnover to below the national average in most disciplines, which we know positively impacts the patient experience. So David mentioned the importance of choice in hospice care. And one of the ways Kansas City Hospice prioritizes choice in care is by providing a greater range of options in the level of involvement some disciplines have in a patient's care. So disciplines that are often marginalized in for-profit care, those might include social work, physical and occupational therapy, chaplain care, grief support. Those are the services that are prioritized by a nonprofit like Kansas City Hospice alongside the disciplines that are focused on physical symptoms of serious illness. So hospice is about the whole patient and the whole family, and we can really pull all of those pieces together. If there's a desire by the patient for a higher frequency of visits by the hospice chaplain, for example, to address unresolved family conflict, personal regret, things like that, or a recognized benefit by the social worker for the support of a grief support specialist to provide anticipatory grief earlier in the course of care, Kansas City Hospice can accommodate those needs as they arise with our patients. In 2019, a study commissioned by the National Partnership for Healthcare and Hospice Innovation that David mentioned earlier, NPHI, that showed that nonprofit hospices provided patients with 35% more social worker visits. And in the same study, for-profit hospices reported spending less than half of what nonprofit hospices report spending on bereavement services. So we're really putting that, what's best for the patient, the things that are going to get the best patient outcomes first and foremost.
Okay. And so I love that. This is not just an opinion. So here we have all of these facts, all of these measurables. And so, again, it's not a subjective opinion. This opinion is backed up by facts, measurable data from all of these different very credible sources and 650,000 surveys. And just, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So I love this. Karen, this leads me to ask, how are you able to do it all? And, what, aside from the mission and the desire, makes providing such extensive and high quality care even possible?
Well, I think, first of all, it really starts with our own people. So our staff, for example, really work to maximize their productivity and efficiencies. We minimize costs as much as possible, always with the goal of not impacting our patient care. So we're always looking at cost, but patient care comes first. And we have a strong leadership team, a dedicated workforce. I'm very proud to work with some of the best people in Kansas City, and I think in the healthcare field, because they really, really care about what they do and know that, it's those efficiencies that get us through and help us to make the best decisions. And, we've been doing this for 43 years, so we've got some dedicated staff on board. The other thing that we're really strong in is the commitment of our volunteers. And so that's really instrumental to our success. And it's often the mechanism through which we're able to provide enhanced services. So we offer things like pet therapy, memory projects. We have a program called Lasting Conversations. It helps to record life stories or other things that a patient on service might want to share and leave with their loved ones. We offer peer grief support groups and grief camps. We have veterans programs, including we're level 4. We honor veterans program, which is a national certification. And we also have introduced kind of a homegrown similar program called Celebration of Life. And so one of the things that We Honor Veterans does is it really pulls together or really honors the lives of veterans. And we do that for everyone on service. We do offer that to them. We've called that Celebration of Life. So those are just a few of the things we're able to do with our volunteers. And I think the third thing that I would say is we're really able to do this work because of the generosity of our community and our supporters. Philanthropy allows nonprofits such as Kansas City Hospice the ability to prioritize our mission-based work. We don't have to risk our financial sustainability, our stability, because we have people right there supporting us and really supporting the patients and the families that we serve is what it comes down to. So our donors, our event volunteers, foundations, and other grant funders, we have corporate sponsors, business partners. All of them are invested in Kansas City Hospice, which really means they're invested in the community and ensuring that, you know, the people that need our help are able to get that.
So it sounds like philanthropic support helps nonprofits respond to identified needs among their patients and families. So how do you identify those needs and adapt to them? And can you give some examples of how that has played out at Kansas City Hospice?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mentioned earlier our social work team that we have. That's a discipline that is on every team. Every care team is a social worker, and they help to identify, you know, some of the patients that might be struggling a little bit more with things. They'll look at the basic needs that they might have. Those could be things like food, housing, personal hygiene, whether they have the right household items. And if they see an issue, a lot of times, you know, we will work with and refer to community resources, and often they will work with. We have a fund that was established in 2018 called the B. Haley Fund for Patient Assistance that we can offer that assistance as well for basic needs, which is very much the basic needs, which is very much, you know, things like food. Our people that go into the home, they're the eyes and ears, and they often see things that the patient might have not realized as a big issue, or their physician might not know if they're not, you know, seeing them, or if they're seeing them in the office. And so they're able to identify those and get them the help that they need.
And that's that mm-hmm. extra layer of care and extra, really just way above and beyond that. This is not required for licensure as a hospice provider. And then the other thing through all of the fundraising throughout the year is that Kansas City Hospice provides over $500,000 in uncompensated care to individuals without the resources to pay. So again, if you're listening to this program and you're not from the Kansas City area, I would strongly encourage you to reach out to a nonprofit hospice provider in your area and just find out if they are doing some of the things that we're sharing with you here from the great folks at Kansas City Hospice in palliative care. And hang on, don't go away. We have even more information to share with you.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. We're visiting today with David Wiley and Karen Honholt, both with Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And we're talking today about for-profit versus not-for-profit hospice providers. And a pretty negative article written in the New Yorker last December. So we're really setting the record straight. And look, it's not to say that all for-profit hospice providers do a terrible job. We're not saying that. There are always a few bad apples, though, that kind of really ruin it for everyone. But look, I'll just say it: the overwhelming data and facts claim and show and prove that the better service, the better care, the better everything is provided by nonprofit providers. And as we mentioned earlier, David, I don't remember my exact numbers, but somewhere 20-25% of hospice providers are nonprofits. So it is a small group, but providing really the best care.
For sure. Yeah. And many legacy hospices that have been doing this since the late 70s and early 80s. So very experienced at what they do.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. And Karen, so we talked in the previous segment about philanthropic efforts, and I know that Kansas City Hospice does a lot of fundraising, and we have the B. Haley Fund for Patient Assistance. So a caregiver goes into someone's home, and they may see the need for just personal hygiene items, or maybe some food in the pantry, or something just basic like that. And you cover that. That is not required for hospice licensure, I'm sure.
No, it is absolutely not. But we're very proud and honored to be able to do that. And it's thanks to our donors that we can do that.
That is excellent. It's just another example of going above and beyond. And then, Karen, what about the Vincent A. Stone Street Family Fund?
Yeah, so this was established last year. We were honored to be able to care for Mr. Stone Street, who is the father of actor Eric Stone Street. And when they were looking for hospice care in Kansas City, they looked at what was available, and both for-profit and nonprofit, yeah. and believed Kansas City Hospice was the place that he needed to be. And they were so impressed and happy with the care that he and they received they came back to us and said, and I can remember Eric actually saying, we have a lot of resources and we're really able to choose what we believe to be the best. But what happens when people don't have the resources? Mm-hmm. And so, we were able to say it's because of our donors. So we will not turn anybody away because they don't have resources to pay. And so we had some more conversation about that. And then they, as a family, established the Vincent A. Stone Street Fund, Family Fund. And really, what they chose to focus on is our Carousel Pediatric Care. So we have a program that provides home health and hospice to pediatric, really pre-birth all the way through late teens. And so they established this fund, actually intentionally inviting people to give to the fund as well. So we use that to help to offset the cost of care. So many young families may not have resources, and so we're able to offset that care and also grant pediatric wishes with this. Now, the B. Haley Fund, we also can grant patient wishes with that as well. So we do help with basic needs. The vast majority of what we use it for is anything from food to housing expenses, things like that. But we also help to sometimes patients, even in their later years, there are things that they really want to mark off their bucket list, and mm-hmm. we're able to grant some of those wishes as well. So yeah. These are two just really great funds that are completely donor supported. And it's honestly so much fun to be able to work with our social workers and provide whether it's basic support or granting wishes to our patients, all because of the donors like the Stone Streets who wanted to make that happen.
That is excellent. And just a little trivia: I sat next to Eric Stone Street at a Chiefs game last year, so
he's a neat guy.
That was kind of cool. He was really super nice. So you would never know he's a big time celebrity. He was just as nice as could be. So
yes,
so that's really cool. Well, do you have any in the brief time that we have left, any client impact stories that you might want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I think every time a social worker is meeting with the family and they're talking about the different needs that they have, I really leave it up to them to decide what's going to make the most impact for this family or for this patient or for their family member. And so they'll come with, some kind of unique and different, requests. And we try to grant those whenever possible because, we trust them. We trust the families that we're working with to know what's going to help them the most. And so most often, to be quite honest, that means groceries or, hygiene or cleaning supplies, things like that. A lot of people get by with not much. And we want them to be comfortable. And you certainly don't want a person, who's facing serious illness, who's dying in their home or, caregiving for their loved one, not to know where their next meal is coming from. And so that's, that's probably our most frequently frequent request. But I will say, some of the really neat things that we've been able to do. We had a little girl on service, not super little, but she was 15 at the time. Mm-hmm. She was on service. She had kind of made her peace that, she was going to die. Mm-hmm. And her request was actually to plant a garden with her mother that her mother would have to remember her by when she passed on.
Oh, wow.
So they planted a tree outside of her window, planted this garden together, and she did end up dying the next year. which I think about her often, and just her family and you know, it wasn't much. It wasn't a lot of money. Most of these are a couple $100s.
Yeah, yeah.
But they just...
It means a lot, though.
Yeah. They just make such a huge difference for these families.
Well, thank you so much for that story. And David and Karen, you've just provided us with some inspiring stories and information and factual resources I think will really help our audience better understand the distinction of nonprofit hospice care and its value to the family. So if people have additional questions about the topics discussed today, David, where can they go?
They can give us a call, or they can go to our website, which is kchospice.org. They can also call us at 816-363-2600, and we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, and then we'll have some links at kchospice.org. I'll also have some links at seniorcarelive.com, and that way just make an informed decision. That's what all this is about. But in Kansas City, I always refer to KC Hospice, and I always have and I always will, and I feel really good about that. So check it out and just make sure you get with the right hospice provider. And David and Karen, thanks so much for being here today and just helping me set the record straight. This is excellent information. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here today.
All right. I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.